Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Give us a call. The number is 208-991-4783. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, it's time now for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This episode is called The Nelson Matter.
For your listening enjoyment, as Johnny Dollar.
Good morning, Johnny.
Hello, Mr. Martin.
Got a job for you.
Fine.
Man named Carl Nelson is insured with our company. He was killed.
How?
Shot to death. Got a police record. Small time hoodlum. Beneficiary is a woman named Gilkerson. Paul Gilkerson. He disappeared. Police think it probably has something to do with Nelson's death. Want to see what you can find out?
Sure.
All right. Down to New York as soon as you can. Contact Lieutenant Korchak at 11th Precinct Homicide. We'll give you all the help you can.
I'll get right on it.
You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was third vice president to become president through the death of the man holding that office. A man of limited education, he was taught to read and to write by his wife. In 1862, when Tennessee threatened to secede from the Union, he was appointed military governor of occupied Tennessee by President Lincoln. As president, by a threat of war, he stopped Napoleon's attempt to seize control of Mexico, and his administration saw the beginning of the Reconstruction era. A senator before he became president, he was re-elected to the Senate after his presidential term of office was over. If you don't have his name by now, here are two more clues. During his administration, Alaska was purchased from Russia and Nebraska became a state. Who was he? Andrew Johnson, 17th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Columbia All Risk Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Nelson matter. Expense account item one, $15.36, train fare and incidentals between Hartford and New York City. I arrived at 2:30 in the afternoon. After registering at the hotel, went directly to the 11th Precinct Police Station, where I introduced myself to Lieutenant Korchak of Homicide.
How much does your company insure the frog for?
The frog?
Nelson. He was called the frog. He looked like one.
Oh? He was insured for $10,000.
Maud Gilkerson gets the money.
Do you think she had something to do with the killing?
No, I think she knows something about it.
Any theories about why he was killed?
Nothing definite. Frog was a hood, long record, did time twice, been in every racket from the numbers to stick-ups. Now, you don't generally get anything definite on a killing like this. Some of the boys wanted him dead. Who or why is hard to tell. He's been associated with Ellis Hartje for the past year or so.
That's pretty big company.
Yeah, Hartje's about as big as a con. Probably got unhappy with a frog and had him eliminated.
Have you questioned Hartje?
Sure, but just as a matter of routine. If Hartje had something to do with it, it's going to be tough to prove.
Well, I guess the first thing to do is find the beneficiary, Maud Gilkerson.
Well, that's not going to be easy. We've done a lot of looking.
Well, I got a friend in town that just might be of some help.
Do I know him?
Probably, but I'd rather not mention who it is. He doesn't get along very well with cops.
Not many people do.
My friend's got a king-size allergy. But for the right people and the right price, he can be very informative.
Well, good luck, Donna.
Thanks. I'll let you know if I come up with anything. Expense Expense account item two, $2.35 cab fare from the precinct to Skid Row and Het's Hilarity, a saloon that always looked as though it wanted to collapse when the sun hit it too hard. Inside, I found Wilbur Truitt sitting at the almost deserted bar, sipping Muscatel through a glass straw. Hello, Wilbur.
Bucko! You are indeed a sight for sore eyes. And, Bucko, my eyes are sore. Pull up a Hepplewhite and rest yourself.
Can I buy you a drink?
Oh, noble prince, a king among kings. You come in the nick. Can you buy me a drink? If it were not so early in the day and my spine not yet limber, I would bend and kiss your feet.
I'll just take a rain check.
Innkeeper, a flagon of your best amber tonic. Oh, Bucko, I've missed you. Do you realize what, with economic conditions such as they are, that your absence has been the bane of my existence? Goodwill is a thing of the past.
Wilbur.
I once looked upon mankind with a warm smile and a kind heart. But I find it difficult to keep from becoming a complete cynic. People are pinching pennies completely out of shape. Soon the exchequer will be filled with a gigantic mass of unrecognizable copper. Why, a year ago I was averaging as much as 50 cents a day. A whole bottle.
Be it your pitch.
My pitch? Sir, my pitch is a thing of beauty. An excursus of cogent puissance. A compassionate discourse on human suffering.
Okay,
pitch would tear the heart out of Mephistopheles himself.
Wilbur.
Yes, Bucko.
Where can I find Maud Gilkerson?
You know why my eyes are sore, Bucko?
No. Why are your eyes sore, Wilbur?
I had to brave the morning sun. Things had become so desperate, I pawned my dark glass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If things don't improve, I may have to part with my glass straw. The only sure method of deriving substance when in the throes of the shade.
Maud Gilkerson is worth a bottle.
Granted. In fact, I'd venture to guess that the lady is worth, two bottles?
You're probably right.
I'll have to call you.
I'm staying at the Yorkshire.
She may not want to see you.
Tell her I've got 10,000 for her.
I beg your pardon.
Tell her the frog left a $10,000 insurance policy and she's the beneficiary.
Good Lord, perhaps I was wrong. There are still a few good deeds left in the world.
Sure. I just gave you 2 quarts worth. Expense account item three. $2.60 for a cab back to the hotel, where I went up to my room and smoked a half a dozen cigarettes while I waited for Wilbur Truitt to call. Around 4:30 in the afternoon, the phone finally rang. Johnny Dollar.
Bucko?
Yeah, Wilbur?
I finally contacted the party. She's not happy.
Did you tell her about the insurance?
The first words out of my mouth. But it seems Mr. Nelson's insurance is not enough to bring color to her cheeks and a smile to her ashen lips.
What does she want?
Some insurance of her own.
What do you mean?
She's hiding because her life's in danger. She has no money to leave town. She'll make a deal with you.
Go on.
Enough money to leave the country.
You said town.
A logical progression. The town first, then the country. Believe me, Bucko, her plight is worth considering.
What will she give me in exchange for the money?
That is her own personal secret. But she told me to tell you it's worth every cent.
All right.
Go to 107 River Street, the last room at the back of the hall. Tell her Wilbur sent you.
Right. Thanks, Wilbur. I put on my hat and coat, crossed the room, and opened the door to go out into the hall. But I didn't make it. There, standing on the other side of the door, about to knock, were two ugly-looking men dressed in loud jackets.
Your name, Dollar?
Yeah?
Mind if we come in?
What would happen if I did?
We'd come in.
That's what I thought.
Then why'd you ask?
I make little bets with myself.
I want to talk with you for a few minutes, Dollar.
Okay.
What are you doing in New York?
It's a nice town.
Want some advice?
Not especially.
Make a little bet with yourself, you're going to get it anyway.
I'm a lap in front of you.
Then here it is. When Bert asks you a civil question, give him a civil answer.
Okay. Ask me a civil question, Bert.
What are you doing in New York?
It's a nice town.
Oh! Why, you...
Hold it.
He'll just belt you again.
With a broken arm?
You're pretty tough, huh?
All in how you look at it. If breaking his arm is being tough, then that's the best name for it.
Okay. We don't want any trouble.
Huh? That's a funny line.
I won't ask you no more questions.
That'll save some time.
I'm just going to tell you. Lay off a Nelson killing. Understand?
Yeah. You said, lay off the Nelson killing.
Good boy. Because if you keep nosing around, somebody will just have to come down and investigate the dollar killing. Understand?
Yeah. You said somebody will just have to come down and investigate the dollar killing.
Fine, fine. Now that you understand, we'll be going.
Nice meeting you both, informally, like this. Expense account item 4. $3.25 for another cab that took me down to 107 River Street. The address was an old two-story frame house that faced the water. I went in and walked down the dark hall to the back room.
Who is it?
Wilbur sent me.
What's your name?
Dollar.
Come in.
Are you Maude Gilkerson?
Yeah. Wilbur said you'd make a deal.
That's right. But I want to know what I'm getting in return.
Look, Sonny, take my word for it. You get more than you're paying for. Now, how much did you bring?
I got a couple of hundred.
Couple of hundred?
That's all I had out of me. If you want more, I'll have to get it.
Sonny, I got to get out of the country.
This is enough to get you out of town. If what you've got is worth it, I'll send you the rest.
Not in your life. When I leave this room, nobody's ever going to hear from old Maude again.
You've got $10,000 coming from Nelson's insurance policy.
How long will it take to get it?
Well, that depends. First, I've got to report on Nelson's death.
I've got to get out of here as soon as I can. Another day or so, they'll find me.
Well, it'll take at least 3 weeks before...
3 weeks? Tell me if I stay here, I'll be buried in 3 weeks.
What are you scared of?
Dying. I don't like the idea.
I don't blame you.
How soon can you get me some more money?
How much more?
$500.
What am I buying?
I'm not telling you anything until I get the money.
Okay, then we'll just forget it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not trying to be tough, but what I got is too hot to go around shooting my face off about. How do I know if I tell you that you won't take it to the cops?
You don't?
Oh, Wilbur said I could trust you.
That's right.
Okay, okay. I'll tell you. But give me the 200 on account.
There you are.
Okay, thanks. You want a drink?
No, thanks.
Mind if I have one?
Go ahead.
I don't usually take this stuff, but I need it. Frog left me 10,000, huh?
That's right.
Nice guy. Nasty disposition, but he was okay. You didn't know him, huh?
No.
Well, he's been with the outfit about a year now.
The outfit?
Horace Harchy.
Ellis Harchy.
Yeah. The frog done pretty well for himself.
Until lately.
Yeah, he always worried they'd hit him in the head. He was always planning they shouldn't. You know how it is with small guys like the frog. You never know when something goes wrong and the outfit sends word to hit you in the head. Frog always worried about getting hit in the head. Ah, but he was smart.
While he was alive.
Yeah, yeah. He figured as long as he was smart like he was, he'd fix it so Harchy would never be able to hit him. Frog was in on most of the stuff Harchy's been setting up in this town. Not big in it, you know, but in it. And he kept his eyes open.
Found out too much and they killed him for it?
Yeah, but it wasn't only what he found out. It was what he collected.
Collected?
Enough evidence to send Harchy and his boys away for 100 years. Maybe the chair even.
Did Harchy know it?
Sure. Frog told him when he found out he was hot. He told Harchy if he got killed, the stuff would go to the DA.
And you've got it?
I've got it.
Why didn't you give it to the DA?
Well, even if they send Harchy up, he's got friends. I'd be dead before he went to trial.
You want another 500,
Hope. And that's dirt cheap, especially when the dirt's liable to be in my face.
How long do I have to get it?
Just as soon as you can. Like I said, I ain't got much longer. You found me, and you ain't got connections like Harchy. Oh, they'll find me.
I'll have the 500 in an hour.
Okay, okay. I'll make arrangements. Wait a second.
What is it?
Well, what does it look like? It's a key. You've been okay with me, so I'll trust you. It's a key to a locker in Grand Central, number 415. That's where the package is.
Mind if I cut in to say something, fellas? It won't take too long, since a word to the wise is sufficient. And in the English language, there is one word which is important to just about everyone in the world. That word is security. Security has several different meanings, however. Usually, we think of it in connection with the protecting of our military installations and defense industries. But it means more than that. There is a security which applies to every man, woman, and child in America. The security which comes from being in good health, having a good education, and being well taken care of in case things get a little too tough to handle by oneself. This kind of security is the problem of the president's newest cabinet member, the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. This department ties together the work of several governmental agencies. First, there is the United States Public Health Service, which strives to make certain that the general health of the people in our country is in the best of condition. Then, there is the Food and Drug Administration, which guarantees that the food we eat is pure and safe to eat. The Social Security Board, which takes care of old people, children, and the blind who need assistance, also comes under the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, as does the United States Office of Education. This office does research on the educational possibilities, changes, and opportunities, and passes on its information to the various state boards of education. As you can see, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare is one of the most important agencies in our government, assuring us, as it does, of a normal and healthy way of life.
Now, with our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. After Maude Gilkerson gave me the key to the locker in Grand Central, I left the old house on River Street and started back for town. It was getting dark, and there were no cabs in that section, so I headed west for the busy traffic. I'd only gone about 100 yards when a car pulled away from the curb about a half block behind me. A big black car with the lights off. I thought about the key in my pocket and the evidence in the locker that would send the biggest hoodlum in the country away for life. I had to get rid of the key before they caught up with me. I turned a corner, and there, a few feet in front of me, was a blind man. A beggar sitting with his legs folded and on his lap a tin cup with a stack of pencils.
Bless you.
Thanks. I'm going to need it.
Hold it, Dollar.
Well, good evening.
Get in the car. Get in. In the back seat.
You just don't take advice, do you, Dollar?
You didn't say anything about taking a walk.
I told you to lay off the Nelson killing.
Who says I didn't?
Dug up McGilkerson.
Who?
Oh! I told you. When Bert asks you a civil question,
give him a civil answer.
Okay. So I dug up Maude Gilkerson. So what?
What'd she give you?
A lot of double talk. She gave me nothing.
You're lying. But we let a couple of the boys off to talk to her. They'll find out.
What happens in the meantime?
We drive around while the goon searches you. Then we go see someone who wants to have a little talk with you. Okay, goon. Search him.
Get down on the floor.
Is that your name, Goon?
Get down there.
I should have guessed.
What?
Oh, nothing. While Bert drove us around, the goon made me strip down to my socks while he searched my clothes. When he didn't find what he was looking for, he swatted me across the back of the neck, told me to get dressed. Then Bert drove us across town to a big apartment house that overlooked the river.
Bert parked in the basement garage, and I was led into an elevator that took us to the penthouse. Ellis Hargee, the czar of the underworld, looked up from his evening paper.
This is Dollar, boss.
Did he find Mark?
Yeah. Ernie and Frank are with him.
Yeah.
Well, sit down, Mr. Dollar.
All right.
Bert told me he and the gun paid you a little visit this afternoon, huh?
If you can call that a little visit.
Did they go and get rough?
Don't tell me he can do something else.
You're kind of fresh, huh?
I'm ripe enough to know I don't like getting pushed around.
Sometimes you got to take a pushing around to understand things.
I don't take a pushing around from you or anyone else, Archie.
You think you got a choice?
Not at the moment, no.
If I want you to take a beating, you'll take one.
I'll make up for it.
You ain't making up for anything. Now, you got to understand, I'm running things, see? You ain't going to say nothing about what happens or what don't happen. So you just try and relax and take what comes, huh? You cooperate. It's got to be nice.
He didn't have anything on him.
Nothing, huh?
I went over him good. He didn't have nothing.
Did she tell you what it is, Dollar?
What?
You know what I'm talking about. Whatever it is, the frog left for Maud Gilkerson.
I found Maud Gilkerson to tell her Nelson left her $10,000.
She didn't say nothing about me.
Not a thing. She didn't say anything but thanks and get out.
He was in with her for about 10 minutes.
So it took her 10 minutes to say thanks and get out, huh?
Look, what do you think she said to me?
That's what I want you to tell me, Dollar.
How can I tell you something when there's nothing to tell? I located Maud Gilkerson. Tell her that...
Okay, okay. You said that.
I don't know what you're so worried about me for. For an old dame like Maud. What can we do to a big man like you?
Make me mad. Hello. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, take care of it. Yeah. Now, that was Ernie.
Maud, tell him anything?
Yeah. She told him that she gave Dollar a key. Is that right, Dollar? She gave you a key? She told him she gave him a key to a locker in Grand Central Station. Is that right, Dollar? She told him the locker number was 415. The stuff was in a locker. Is that right, Dollar?
Do me any good to say no?
No.
The goon searched me.
He didn't have no key on him, boss.
All right. All right, where is it, Dollar?
I haven't got it.
Take him somewhere and find out what he's done with it.
Let's go, Dollar.
You're making a mistake, Archie.
Nice meeting you, Mr. Dollar.
The goon and Bert took me back down in the elevator, hustled me into the car, and drove me back across town to a warehouse in the Bowery. In a small room on the second floor of the warehouse, the goon went to work while Bert stood by with a gun.
Where's the key, Dollar?
I don't know.
And you're the guy that was going to bust my arm.
It'd be a whole lot easier if you'd just tell us.
I can't tell you about something I haven't got. Oh. The goon worked on me until I passed out. Then he threw some water in my face and started working on me again. Oh, he knew his job. It hurt, but it didn't kill me. When I was coming to for the third time, the phone rang. And Bert left the room to answer it. I knew this was the only chance I was going to get. When the goon leaned over me with a bucket of water, I grabbed the cuffs of trouser legs and pulled. I staggered up to my feet as the goon started up off his back. I kicked him as hard as I could in the face. Grabbed the heavy bucket and stumbled over to the door. Just as Bert came back from the phone call.
Hey, goon!
Ask me a civil question, Bert. I tied them up as best I could, then took Bert's gun and the car keys. I found my way out of the warehouse, climbed in the big black sedan, and drove across town to the block that ran into River Street. All the way, I kept my fingers crossed that the blind man with the tin cup and pencils would still be there. Pardon me.
Yes?
I came by here a little while ago and dropped a key in your cup.
Yes, I found it. Here it is.
I'd like to buy it back.
Buy it?
Yeah. Here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I guess I'd better be going. It's beginning to rain.
No, it isn't. It's just bleeding out. I wheeled the big car back across town to the 11th Precinct and caught Lieutenant Korchak just going off duty. He took one look at my face, mumbled something about careless truck drivers, and sat down to listen to my story.
Bird and the goon?
Yeah. I left them in a warehouse. They won't stay tied up long. The boys that picked up Maud Gilkerson were named Ernie and Frank.
Ernie Foots and Frank Silla. I'll have them picked up.
This key could bust this town wide open.
I hope you're right, Dollar. A lot of people have tried to get Harger. Look out. Let's go down to Grand Central.
Right.
Oh, about Maud Gilkerson.
What about her?
They fished her out of the river about an hour ago. Yeah, okay. Give me the key.
Here. Archie knows about this locker. Ernie and Frank forced Maud to tell them before they killed her.
You sure?
They called Harvey while I was in his apartment. He told me.
Ah, let's see what we've got.
Huh. A package. Korchak, look out! Huh? I'd seen them just as they came around the corner. The goon was grinning through the teeth I'd kicked out, and Bert had a big lump on the side of his head where I'd nailed him with a bucket. Everyone came out with their guns all at once. Korchak jumped to one side, and I dropped to my stomach while I squeezed out all six shots from the gun I'd taken away from Bert. When the smoke cleared, Korchak was down and was smiling. He'd caught one high on the shoulder, but Bert and the goon were through being bad boys. The goon was dead, and Bert didn't have far to go to catch up. The wagon cleaned it up, and Korchak and I got ourselves patched up at emergency. They wanted to keep us in for observation, but Korchak had waited too long to get Hardy, and nothing was going to stop him from making the arrest. I didn't want to miss it either. Korchak collected a squad, and we paid a visit to the penthouse. Think he skipped?
Stakeout said he hasn't left the building.
Come on, Hardy, open up. This is Korchak, and I got a present for you.
Hey, get back.
Come on in, Korchak. I got a little something for you, too.
Oh, I'm kind of glad he wanted it this way. I'll shoot the lock and then we go in.
I hit the door.
You all right, Dollar?
Yeah, sure. Is he dead?
He sure is.
Account items 5 and 6. The $200 I gave to Maud, which they never recovered, and $1.50 for the 2 bottles I gave to Wilbur, who recovered 3 days later. The contribution to the blind man is on me. Expense account items 7 and 8. $75.95, hotel bill, train fare, and incidentals back to Hartford. Expense account total, $301.01, and multiple bruises. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Tonight on FBN Presents, you've been listening to some of the best in radio drama with Suspense and Johnny Dollar. Be sure to join us again tomorrow night at the same time, 9:05, when FBN presents The Honeymooners and The Great Gildersleeve.
Here's a school of thought, the Air University, the professional educational center of the United States Air Force. The command produces air commanders and staff officers for the Air Force, and to meet the objective, the command operates a series of professional military and specialized schools, as well as related educational and research activities. An important school of thought, the Air University, part of the United States Air Force.
Welcome back. Well, you may wonder what FEN is. FEN was the Far East Network. It was American military network broadcast primarily out of Japan. And it was listened to by armed forces personnel. It was also listened to by Japanese people who were wanting to learn English. That was its primary original footprint. Now, you may wonder about its mentioning the Honeymooners. Well, when many of the classic television shows were broadcast, they actually were simulcast over radio with the sound only. That was something that continued for quite a while. There was one place, one town we were at in the 1980s, that was still actually doing that. You don't hear about that much today. This was also, obviously, a rerun because the Armed Forces Radio Service had the show in its collection, so they had the transcription and were able to run it. But the Honeymooners, of course, came after this particular episode of Johnny Dollar. The one thing that was somewhat funny about this, just a weird association mainly, is the name of the murdered man in this episode was Foggy Nelson. And the name of the, if you're a fan of Daredevil, you, the comic book hero, you know that the, this guy's name was Froggy. Well, the name of one of the characters in there is Foggy Nelson. So this is one of those, I wonder if, one of the writers was listening to Johnny Dollar one day and the idea got stuck in their head. And when they were looking for a character name, well, out it came. I guess we will never know. Well, now we're on to listener comments and feedback. And Jim tweets in, trending down half a Snickers bar and then strength work. Listening to a little yours truly, Johnny Dollar, thanks to at Radio Detectives. Well, thanks so much. And you can follow me at Radio Detectives. And also over on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, we'll be back on Monday with another episode of Barry Craig. And then join us on Friday for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. You can find us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.